Cessna confirms more job cuts. A T-6 collides midair with a helicopter. And Dreamliner production is finally back underway. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 2nd, 2009. Cessna has confirmed reports it will cut 2,000 jobs more than previous estimates, bringing announced job losses to date to about 4,600. Forbes reports that in an email to employees, CEO Jack Pelton termed the cuts profound but necessary due to slumping sales and global economic conditions unprecedented in recent memory. Quote, "It's extremely difficult to forecast this year's delivery number because ultimately it will depend on how the economy and other factors affect customer orders and cancellations. As a result, it will be necessary for us to further reduce our production rates based on our current outlook for a weakening order book," unquote. The latest cuts are expected to be completed by the end of March across all areas and all salary levels. Cessna's headquarters in Wichita will lose about a third of its 12,000 workers. The former Columbia plant in Bend, Oregon, will lose 120 workers more than the 165 already announced. A vintage World War II plane, believed to be a T-6 Texan, collided with a training helicopter, believed to be a Robinson R-22, at Weiser Air Park northwest of Houston Saturday afternoon. The Houston Chronicle reports the plane's left wing struck the tail shaft of the helicopter, which then hit the ground. The two people on the chopper suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The plane was reported to have been taking off at the time, and the pilot circled to a safe landing. The plane's left wing was reported damaged, as was the helicopter's rotor and landing gear. Watch for updates at aero-news.net. Three former America West flight attendants are facing a costly court battle related to action they took to stop the takeoff of what they say was an airliner contaminated with ice. Before a 2003 flight from Calgary to Phoenix, the three veteran flight attendants say they tried to bring frost on the wing of America West Flight 851 to the attention of the first officer, who dismissed their concerns. The de-ice crew also reported being alarmed that the plane had pushed back to depart with frost on the wings and fuselage after the flight crew refused de-icing. The Phoenix New Times reports that flight attendants Paula Walker, Sue Burris, and Brian Schunick then called the cockpit with a false report that passengers had expressed concern. That got the flight delayed for de-icing, but the first officer has sued the trio for defamation, seeking $2 million. The airline, which would normally be required under its labor agreement to pay the legal expenses to defend the attendants, claims the fabrication of the story constitutes willful misconduct, which leaves the former employees on their own. The FAA says it was never able to substantiate the claims about ice on the plane. The attendants have borrowed on their houses to pay their attorneys. The case is expected to go to trial soon. Boeing says production of its 787 Dreamliner resumed on Thursday for the first time since last year's strike by the machinists' union. The company says work is underway on the fifth of six planes designated for flight test. Jack Jones, VP of 787 Final Assembly and Changing Corporation, commented, quote, "Sections are arriving in Everett at the completion levels committed by our partners and close to what is expected for mature production," unquote. He adds that substantial progress has been made by Boeing's oft-criticized partners. The Dreamliner has 895 orders, following last week's cancellation of a 15-plane order from Russian airline S7, which cited uncertainty about the global economy in that decision. Up next on ANN, a new crash lawsuit names the airport itself as a defendant. Six are lost when a Seneca goes down in West Virginia. And Plattsburgh International is expanding already. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. There's another new lawsuit in the September 2008 fatal crash of a Learjet 60 at Columbia Metropolitan Airport in South Carolina. Blink 182 drummer Travis Barker and Hollywood party DJ Adam Goldberg suffered serious injuries during an aborted takeoff due to a suspected blown tire, and four other people died, including the pilots. The Associated Press reports the latest suit has been filed by Inter Travel and Services Incorporated of Irvine, California, the owner of the aircraft, and operator Global Exec Aviation of Long Beach, seeking over $12 million in damages from Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company and Bombardier Aerospace. But this suit also names the airport itself, claiming inadequate overrun areas and that an airport security fence and other items damaged the jet's fuel tanks, causing fuel to spill, which later caught fire. It also claims that had a road adjacent to the runway not been at a lower level than the runway itself, the jet might not have crashed nose down into the embankment on the other side. Airport officials deny any wrongdoing. Fuel exhaustion is the early suspect in the fatal crash on Friday of a Piper Seneca Twin near Tri-State Airport at Huntington, West Virginia. All six souls aboard were lost. FAA spokesman Jim Peters said the pilot made a mayday call for low fuel. Controllers said they lost contact with the plane shortly after it made an abrupt 180-degree turn. Snow and poor visibility were reported at the time. National Transportation Safety Board investigator Brian Rayner said the airplane was destroyed as it severed a power line and crashed in a wooded area. The flight's origin and intended destination were not immediately known, and the identities of the six victims had not been released by our deadline. Watch for updates at aero-news.net. It's been only 18 months since the doors opened at Plattsburgh International Airport, created from an old Air Force base in upstate New York, to spark aerospace manufacturing growth in the area and to provide an alternative airport for the Montreal travel market. Despite a 2008 that proved tough for the industry as a whole, Plattsburgh has done so well it's already planning an expansion. Gary Douglas, president of the Plattsburgh North Country Chamber of Commerce, oversees airport development and marketing, which he thought would take 5 years to mature. Quote, "We were wrong. We're already bursting at the seams, with a third parking lot expansion recently completed and a fourth set for this spring. And 85% of our passengers are coming from Canada, mainly from the Montreal region, but also from Quebec City and even Ottawa," unquote. In its first year, the airport has attracted service from Allegiant, Direct Air, and Cape Air, with regular flights to Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Tampa St. Pete, Myrtle Beach, Boston, and Punta Gorda Fort Myers. The new development will be government-funded, is scheduled to get underway in 2010, and will include expansion of the gate area, airline counter space, food service, and a potential international arrivals facility. The NTSB has released its preliminary report on the investigation into the January 24th crash of a Cessna 172S near the Oceanside, California Municipal Airport. 24-year-old pilot Amandeep Singh and 18-year-old passenger Harshdeep Multani were on an IFR flight from El Cajon to Torrance when Singh noticed the Cessna's fuel gauges were going down quickly. Fearing a fuel leak, he diverted to Oceanside. The board says Singh's first two approaches were too high and too fast, and he overshot the airport. The engine lost power on the second go-around attempt, and the plane came down in a residential area a half mile from the airport. Singh and Multani both survived their injuries, and no one on the ground was injured. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports both men are students at the California Flight Academy, the plane's owner and operator. Singh is a commercial-rated pilot from India who'd returned to the U.S. to get an additional 15 hours training as a step toward an airline career. Still ahead, Florida lawmakers try to save defense jobs from cutbacks. Robinson Helicopter sets another production record in 2008. And here's one passenger who's qualified to talk about the miracle on the Hudson. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Even military work isn't a guarantee your job will be recession-proof. A recent proposal by the U.S. Navy to cut back production on the Northrop Grumman E-2D Advanced Hawkeye surveillance plane could impact nearly 400 jobs around St. Augustine, Florida by springtime. Florida senators and representatives are working to keep the program alive, lobbying Defense Secretary Robert Gates to maintain production at 4 aircraft per year. Republican Congressman John Mica of Winter Park said there may be a chance to restore funding tucked somewhere in the omnibus spending bill, scheduled to be heard on March 1st. He also lamented, quote, "There's almost nothing in the $820 billion economic stimulus bill devoted to shoring up our military," unquote. Amid the bleak economic news elsewhere, Robinson Helicopter Company of Torrance, California, managed in 2008 to top its own civil helicopter production record set in 2007. Robinson held on to the title of world's leading manufacturer of civilian helicopters, building 893 units in 2008. That's 70 more than in the previous year, boosted by strong sales in foreign markets. As of July 2008, a full 70% of Robinson's sales were to non-U.S. customers. 80% of sales were models of the four-seat R-44. The R-22 two-seat trainer sold 164 copies. Robinson says its focus for 2009 will continue to be product development and working toward first deliveries of its new five-seat turbine-powered R-66. And finally, given the virtual blackout of reports from the flight and cabin crews of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, we've all had to make do with reports from passengers, and you know how clueless passengers can be. Well, except for this one. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that Susan O'Donnell, an American Airlines Boeing 767 pilot based at LaGuardia Airport, was a non-revenue passenger who caught a jump seat on Flight 1549. Her observations were interesting given her qualifications. Of the ditching itself, she commented, quote, "There was a brief hard jolt, a rapid decel, and we were stopped. It was much milder than I had anticipated. If the jolt had been turbulence, I would have described it as moderate. Thinking about it later on, I realized it was no worse than a carrier landing," unquote. O'Donnell says U.S. Airways crews have always treated her well, even though she works for a competitor and was riding free. In this case, she says police took the passengers to waiting hotel rooms, U.S. airline union reps provided clothing and toiletries, and when Captain Sullenberger found out O'Donnell had lost her wallet, he pulled out his and gave her $20. Is this the same U.S. Airways that came in last a year ago in customer satisfaction at 54%? Maybe they really are trying to turn things around. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about the FAA's definition of current versus what's really required to be safe. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.